Thanks for tuning in to Inside Natural Bodybuilding and the Barbell One Show. Quick shout out to Inside Natural Bodybuilding sponsors Nutristat, top supplements online, and barbellone.com. I have a very special guest today. She's the reigning three-time Drug-Free Athletes Coalition figure pro champion and has had numerous other wins and top finishes against some of the toughest competition in natural pro figure. In recent years, she's been one of the most active pros on the circuit, but recently has added CrossFit to the mix of her competitions. Taking a first place home at her first competition, the Wadapalooza Naturally Fit Games Female RX. Since then, she's placed near the top in a couple of team CrossFit competitions. I know she's got big plans for 2015. So here to talk about those plans, the natural bodybuilding industry, and her business, The Complete Package, she goes by the Queen Bee TCP, Miss Alex Ellis. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. It's a pleasure to have you on. Been talking about it for a while, so glad that we're finally getting things rolling. So I'm just going to jump right in. Most obvious question. Main motivation for shifting your training from figure to CrossFit. What's going on there?
This question could go several different ways, but I don't know, about 2 years ago when I guess it was right after Yorton in 2012, I just felt like not the excitement on stage anymore. Even if I was winning shows, it just, there was really no emotion. There was no drive. I felt like I was going through the motions and my training, and I didn't like that. I got into this sport because I wanted it to be a hobby. I wanted it to be something that I enjoyed and took pride in every step of the training. I wanted to enjoy the diet. I wanted to look forward to going to the gym. And I think I just hit rock bottom after Worlds in 2013, about a week after I came home and from Miami. And I just felt like I didn't even know what to do anymore. I couldn't even get myself into the gym. I was just going in and finding myself looking up YouTube videos on different training methods, different styles of lifting. And I came across Olympic lifting, and it looked kind of interesting. I just wanted a new challenge. So I hired one of my clients is actually an owner of a CrossFit gym here in St. Louis. And I hired her to kind of just look at my form and to teach me some technique on the Olympic lifting. I know that Olympic lifting is all technical. I felt like I had the strength to do it. So just to kind of switch up my training, I started Olympic lifting with her. And she brought to my attention that I could probably benefit in doing some of the lifts, incorporating some CrossFit style workouts into my training, just, you know, to get the speed under the bar, things like that. So at first I was kind of hesitant to even go, you know, do a WOD because the bodybuilding community kind of looks at CrossFit in a negative way. And I'm not going to lie, I felt like that for years watching CrossFit athletes, you know, the whole kipping style, the pull-ups, things like that. You're ignorant to it all, and you see so many bad methods. So I was very hesitant to do that, but I did. And I think about 4 or 5 weeks into it, people say, you know, you drank the Kool-Aid. I definitely fell in love with it. It was very challenging. I felt like I had that passion to get back into the gym and do those style workouts. So I don't know. I was watching all of the open competitions from last year in CrossFit, and I was like, I want to do that. I've been kind of at the top of the natural bodybuilding figure world for a couple of years now, and I needed a new challenge. So, I don't know, just set my goals over to CrossFit. And it's hard to say anything bad about bodybuilding because it has put me on a platform to drive and the determination that I have in my training styles now and being the best that I can be. But I just had a lot of negativity in the past couple of years in in the bodybuilding circuit, and I needed a change.
Gotcha. Fair enough. So maybe you can tell us a little bit. You mentioned, you know, some of these kind of judgments that bodybuilders make, or like preconceived notions of CrossFit and thing. When you started to make this shift, what were kind of like the reactions you got from either side? You know, like bodybuilding people being like, oh, don't do that. Or maybe CrossFit people being like, oh, who are you? Like, we don't know if we want you here. Like, was there any of that? And how did you deal with that?
Yeah, from the CrossFit, they were very open and supportive of me obviously coming over to CrossFit. And they just thought, they actually thought that the bodybuilding was kind of cool. They admired the dedication that I could put into the diet, because there's not a lot of dieting in the CrossFit world. I mean, people follow, you know, a structured meal plan or clean eating, but it's nothing like bodybuilding. And once I started posting on social media my CrossFit style workouts, I got some negative comments on my athlete page about the, you know, how I'm going to lose muscle and how I'm taking a step down instead of moving forward. I highly disagree with that. After doing CrossFit over the past year, I'm not losing muscle. I'm actually putting muscle on. I've never been this strong in my life. I've never had this much muscle. And I think that's just, that goes with a bunch of things. First and foremost, the years of dieting. I mean, it's hard to put on muscle while continuously dieting over the years, but I'm sitting at the most mass that I've had and the leanest that I've been in an off season. But the negativity, and one thing that I can think of, I competed in the Wodapalooza, the Naturally Fit Games, and down there was a WNBF show, a bodybuilding show, and there were some pros that I had seen in the circuit, some male pros, and they came up to me. It's in this big expo center, and I remember one of the guys saying, "Are you competing today?" And I was like, "Yeah, but not in bodybuilding. I'm doing CrossFit." And he just kind of shook his head and, you know, said, I just, that's disappointing to me because, you know, CrossFit's just kind of weak, and I don't know. I was kind of offended by it, but, you know, you move on, you move forward, and it just gives me the drive to be even better.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I got to be honest myself. It's like one of those things where I just have respect because I'm like, I know I couldn't do a lot of those things, you know? So it's like, it may be different. It may be different goals than me, but just kind of a bummer sometimes when people react that way. But obviously you've managed to deal with that quite well. So you mentioned that with CrossFit, you know, doing a WOD or different things. And we know a lot of times those are kind of, at least to me, it seems a little bit on the fly, or like you kind of don't know what's coming. And I know in bodybuilding and figure, it's typically very regimented, right? You know exactly how you're, you know, working things up, your high carb days, your low days, your, you know, volume days, your hypertrophy days, your, you know, like everything's so regimented. How did you find that transition, kind of switching over to that? Was it kind of like any detachment for you? Did you feel like, oh gosh, like I need to track something, or how did it work out?
It was very difficult at first. I think the first four months of doing CrossFit, going into the gym, you just never know what your workout is going to be for that day. So, you know, you could come in and it could be an Olympic lifting day, and you're trying to find your one rep max or your five rep max, or you could, you know, the WOD could be run a 5K and then come in and you're going to do 100 pull-ups and 100 burpees. So you have to be prepared for anything. And at first, the first 4 months, I was actually getting ready for a competition, and it was very stressful because I did my own nutrition at the time. So I didn't know how to structure my diet around that. So I think I was under eating because I was getting ready for a figure competition. I realized that in order to perform at optimal levels in CrossFit, I need way more food in order to do this. So I probably eat about triple the amount of what I was doing about a year ago. It is right now. It's not really difficult because I don't really look at, you know, staying lean. I stay lean based off of the, you know, the workouts, the conditioning workouts that I do. I do a ton of cardio, I don't do a ton of cardio to stay lean. I do a ton of cardio because I know that I could go into any of these competitions and they could have me run, you know, 7 miles and do some other stuff. So I have to be prepared for that. And I have to have the energy to do that.
And you mentioned, you know, having to increase your nutrition intake quite a bit. Would you mind, sharing with us, if you don't mind, like, what is your nutrition like? Are you tracking macros, doing like serving sizes, or how do you kind of put it all together now when you don't know what you're going to be throwing for training?
Sure. My nutrition changes on a weekly basis. I work with Gina Aliotti. She's an IFBB figure pro. She's, for those of you who don't know who she is, she's like the Aaron Stern of 5 years ago. So she's very knowledgeable. I have bought several of her books, her ebooks, and always have seen eye to eye with her and her theories on things. And, you know, if I was reading her book one time and I'm like, gosh, I think I could, if I were to write a book, it would be very similar to this. Just our thought process is very in sync. So I contacted her after my shows in May and, kind of told her what my goals were. I had to finish off the year just because I was in a contract with some sponsors. So I had to do a couple more shows or else I would have been finished competing in May. So I told her that I had to do, I had a couple more shows to do and I needed to a good transition for my nutrition and something that would fit my busy lifestyle. I've done, if it fits your macros, I've done clean eating. I've done, you know, high carb days, low carb. I mean, anything that you can possibly think of, I have done it. The thing that works well for me and my schedule is, you know, I know exactly my macros. I know exactly what I'm getting every single day. I do not have time to plan that out. I work with hundreds of people on nutrition. I'm in the gym. I'm training 4 to 5 hours a day. Sometimes I don't have time to sit there and plan out my meals. I'm not the type of person who needs to eat, you know, junk food here and there. I've always been a clean eater. Even when I did If It Fits Your Macros, everything was clean that I ate just because that's what I feel good on. I know what my body needs. And Gina and I have been working together since May, and she sometimes is just an overwhelming amount of food that she puts in my meal plan, but she knows what I need. I know what I need. We work together on that. The communication, we have about an hour that we talk back and forth every Sunday. I send her pictures still after my competition. We talk about my lifting. We talk about my programming that my CrossFit coaches have for me. So all of that is all of that combined, all of us working together. She writes out my meal plan for me. So it's very structured. I'm a good cook. I don't get sick of food. I could eat chicken and green beans and sweet potatoes every single day and not get sick of it.
Gotcha. So are you eating green beans, sweet potato, chicken 7 times a day? Just kind of curious, like what that looks like. Is a meal plan, is it always, you know, this amount of, you know, protein, this amount of carb, this, is it that kind of setup or?
Yeah, my protein. Do you want to know my numbers right now?
The listeners want to know.
Okay. My protein is at 217 grams. I'm at 139 pounds right now. My fats are at 57 and my carbs are at 580 today.
Wow. They've turned you into a macronator on the carb front. That's cool.
I eat a ton of carbs.
Nice.
And this is pretty low day, low week for me just because it's kind of like it's an easy training week for me. Not a lot of cardio.
Gotcha. So how high will things go on a more aggressive training week?
I would say that my protein's always been pretty high. Fats always stay low. I've always done not a ketogenic type diet, but higher fats, a lot lower carbs when I did my own nutrition, but I can't do that in CrossFit. There's no way I'll just bottom out. So I would say that my carbs have gotten up to 800 to 900 in competition prep. just to give you an idea, I think I had about 64 full cups of oatmeal in between Wednesday and Saturday before Worlds because I was so flat just from competing in CrossFit and my workouts.
So if you're prepping for a show and you're still doing CrossFit style training, or does that kind of phase out, like, again, with this kind of, you know, I think with the way people typically do things, you know, it's like they know, okay, I cut this much cardio, I add this much cardio, I, you know, take away this much carbs, I add this much carbs. Like, how do you make those kind of nutritional adjustments when you have such variable workouts?
Preparing for this, for Worlds this year, for example, I did so much cardio. I think I relied mostly just on cardio to get my body lean, just because I was training for the Heart of America affiliate competition the week before Worlds, which is a 3-day competition and there's 11 events. So it's very, you would think that you wouldn't have the strength to do that, but I was still hitting PRs a week before Worlds. My strength was going on. I think I had like a 25-pound PR on my clean and jerk a week before Worlds. So I was just relying on cardio. I was doing a ton of cardio, but I think that helped with, I mean, that was just for my conditioning, but my carbs never went lower. I think I had one high fat day a week, but I felt good on it. And, even on the high fat day, I mean, I was still doing about 2 hours of cardio a day, but I was training 4 hours a day total.
Gotcha. So let's go into training a little bit more. Let's, obviously it's going to depend quite a bit, obviously going into a meet versus not, but, you know, what's kind of somewhat typical, if you could say that, at least in terms of maybe like the frequency, time spent each day, obviously the workouts are going to be different, but just so someone gets a feel if they've ever thought about maybe doing this thing, bridging figure and CrossFit, kind of what they're in for.
Well, my training right now, I'm getting ready for the Open, and that starts in 8 weeks. It's a 5-week competition where you have to submit you're being judged by a level one CrossFit coach, and your videos are submitted to CrossFit.com in order to make it to regionals. Those are, if you've ever seen the CrossFit games on ESPN, I think that's everyone, you know, for a figure competitor, you know, going to Yorton or the DFAC Miami World Finals or something like that, that's like their dream. Or, you know, NPC competitors like going to the Olympia or the Arnold Classic. The CrossFit games are kind of just the real deal. That's what everyone shoots for. They only take 50 girls in the whole entire world to go there. So my goals right now are to make it to regionals. I have no idea where I'm going to set in. I mean, there's thousands of people that compete in this Open. So my coaches and I sat down and we're really just hammering out my weaknesses right now. And my weaknesses are my technique and the Olympic lifting and then my gymnastics. So my training styles, I'm spending a lot of time working on my weaknesses, the gymnastics, the Olympic lifting and technique. And then I'm still doing like the Metcon workouts in classes, but with a little bit heavier weight. And then I'm doing things on my own, just trying to build up my strength. So there's so many different factors to CrossFit that change on a weekly basis. And it's really about working on your weaknesses. So right now, I mean, my style training could be completely different from somebody else. My workouts are so customized to what I need to do. And my programming is specialized just for me. And I have a motor on me, so it's easy for me to get through like long workouts with high reps and moderate weight. Where I fall short is, you know, my grip strength, because that's something that I didn't work on when I was a figure competitor. Like I would hook into everything with like Versa grips. So I never had that grip strength. So, you know, in CrossFit, you could have a barbell and a pull-up style workout, and your forearms are just cashed out. So I've been working on that. Somebody who's been in CrossFit and not hooked into anything ever might not have that issue. So it's just really depending on the athlete and what they need to work on.
Mm-hmm. How about just the overall frequency and time spent each day training?
I'm sorry?
Just the overall frequency of your training, how many days a week and how much time spent kind of each day?
I train every day. I take, when I need a break, I let my coaches know. communication is so important with them, because, you know, they could give me these workouts and I could be fine and I could go more. And, you know, some days my hands are just so shot that, and I have, you know, rips and I can't even grip anything. My body feels like it's been through the ringer. So I just need a day off, but they're really supportive of me taking a day off. And, you know, I know my body so well. I've been working on my own nutrition and doing my own training for 6 years now. So, I would say I train 6 to 7 days a week, but, about 4 hours a day.
Crazy. But I can definitely see, you know, that's needed obviously to compete at the level that you want to be competing at and that you are competing at currently. So what about, you know, I think a lot of times you just mentioned there being in touch with your body. I think sometimes I notice with the pro bodybuilders, pro figure competitors, I kind of see a mix. There's people where it's like they track everything to a T, and I almost feel like I'm like they don't even seem to have any touch with their body. Then there's other people that, you know, everyone just says like, oh, they're just genetically gifted. That's why they can do that. But they're like, they just say they're in tune. You know, they can tell I need a little more carbs today or I don't or whatnot. How do you find kind of that works for you? And can you see other people maybe being able to take that kind of mentality and apply it a little bit more instead of being so granular and tracking everything?
Again, everybody is so different. And I work with a lot of women who are just genetic freaks, and they can, you know, either they're always lean, but they can look full or they can look flat, but they're always in, you know, their condition's always spot on. I feel like, you know, tracking everything, it's important to a certain degree, but some people are so regimented on their training programs and what their coaches have lined out for them. And you're only supposed to do, you know, 4 deadlifts at however much percent, and then you go up from there, whatever your coach has for you. And when you have more, I mean, I understand that there's a method to everything, but I feel like everybody's body is different. Some days you'll come into the gym and you will just be able to knock out some weight that you have never been able to do. And then the next day you go in there and you're just so weak and exhausted. I think, and, you know, stress has a huge effect on your body, and whatever else is going on in your life, work, just life can affect those things. So, you know, it's important to follow your training to a T for results, but I think that you could tweak that as you go along.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that for sure. And I think one thing that's neglected maybe a little bit myself is, you know, just those kind of tapers and off periods and stuff. I think sometimes people neglect those. And like you say, maybe it facilitates that if you allow yourself to kind of not overtrain, but you know what I mean? Go after it a little bit more than is on schedule when you feel like you can do it. So it sounds like you've kind of gotten in tunes of like, you know, training that you buy into. And that's something I always talk about on my podcast is kind of people that always are striving for what's the most optimal, or saying, hey, this may be the most optimal, but I buy into this, or I enjoy this more, or like, this is what I'm going to be into the most. And so therefore I'm going to tweak a little bit, even if it's not quote unquote the most optimal type thing. So do you feel like you're constantly making those kind of adjustments? You mentioned where things got stale and you kind of weren't enjoying training. And it sounds like now you've kind of gotten better in connection with that.
Absolutely. And I think that it's just going to continue to get better. I think we just become so blinded by what other people are doing and how other people are training. And I blame a lot of that on social media and, you know, the coaches that put out their clients that look awesome, that, you know, have this specific training style. You know, that training style might work for them, but, you know, put it on somebody else and it's not going to do anything. And, you know, like I said, social media, I think it makes a lot of competitors just kind of second guess their own training. And I've done it before. I mean, I've looked at, you know, top IFBB pros and looked at their training style methods and diets and kind of gone based off of that just because they look good. And that's, you know, you don't ever know what else is involved in their training and what else they're doing. And, you know, some of the stuff that we put out there could be kind of half-ass, and we don't know that. It's just, you know, we put out there whatever we want people to know. And, I don't know, for, you know, buying into the training, I am that type of person. I've done so many different styles, but I'm a very goal-oriented person, and I tend to, I don't ever really overtrain, but I think now it's kind of shifted to the optimal training. I do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it. So working with people at a higher level that know more than me on the CrossFit circuit, and having them do my programming has been crucial, because I would never train like this.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on, I'm curious, women's physique and bikini? So you mentioned two things where, you know, one, you're eating a lot more food and things to where people might think like, oh, maybe she's bringing a softer look, so maybe one of these days she'll do bikini. Or then maybe you saying that you're adding more muscle, so maybe when someone would say, oh, she's getting ready for women's physique, maybe she could do that in a few years. Like, do you see any of those things in the future? And, you know, what do you think of those two new classes?
I think those classes are awesome because it gives, I think it gives more female athletes the opportunity to compete in something that fits their physique. Women, I've seen a lot of girls in figure that have such an athletic shape to them that could do so well in physique, and they switch over and they just kill it, where they're only placing like fourth or fifth because they bring great conditioning. And then I've also seen girls, you know, too small that have a hard time putting on the muscle. But then, you know, they can comment, some of those bikini girls these days are coming in really, really hard. And that's, I think bikini is really about the overall package and not necessarily conditioning. But can I see myself ever doing bikini? Absolutely not. I think that I have way too much muscle and I want to continue to just get bigger and bigger. Physique, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'll ever step on stage again. I can't say, I mean, talk to me a year ago, I would never have thought that I would be doing CrossFit, but I don't think that I'll ever be stepping on stage again.
Really? Wow. I'm shocked. It's funny. Natural Mag, your story there. They're saying, they're like, the biggest story is she's leaving competition. And the next biggest story is she's back and she wins worlds.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I had to finish off the year and do another competition for a sponsorship. I signed a contract and I'm not going to break that. I'm going to live up to my promises with my sponsors. So I did that last show, and I'm glad that I did it. I had such a blast there, and I love competing in the DFAC, and I love what they do for the competitors. And, I'm glad that I did it. I went out on top, and there's no better way to do that.
Wow. No, it's cool. It's just, you know, being as young as you are to kind of know that you're like, I'm already done. Whereas people, you know, 40, 45 is often when people will say they're done. So again, obviously it's not that you're done. It's simply just a transition or a shift in what you're planning to compete at. And you mentioned your supplement sponsors. I know you've had, I think you're wearing the logo, one of them right now, a couple different sponsors over the years. What are your thoughts on, you know, getting and keeping a sponsorship, and then even more importantly, like your advice on, obviously you made that transition and switched to a different sponsor. I think sometimes people are afraid to accept new opportunities because they don't want to, you know, leave behind any bad blood with, you know, someone they were previously loyal to.
It was so hard for me to leave my previous sponsor because I have developed so many close ties and relationships with the athletes, and they've always been so supportive. I didn't leave them because I didn't believe in their supplements. I simply, you know, transitioning into CrossFit, it was a good time for me to kind of get out and change everything. I was with them for 3 or 4 years, and my new sponsors, they have been supportive with the CrossFit transition. There were no CrossFit athletes with my previous sponsor. But I just like the movement they were going for. I like what they believe in. And it's a St. Louis-based company with a bunch of great people involved. And it just felt like I just felt like it was the right thing to do at the right time.
Nice.
With competitors and sponsorships, so many competitors will just sign contracts with supplement companies that they've never even tried their products, just to say that they're a sponsored athlete. And I disagree with that. I highly disagree with that, because I would much rather not be sponsored by anyone than be sponsored by somebody that I didn't truly believe in the product. I have a large clientele base that I push towards the products that I use because I believe in them. And I'm not the type of person that's going to promote something that doesn't work for me or doesn't work for my clients. No, I don't use all the products that my sponsors have, because not all of them work for me, and not all of them, I don't need all of those supplements in my nutrition. And, you know, whether if you like the taste of it or you like what it does for you, then go ahead and promote that. But I just see so many companies out there that will just reach out to athletes just to, you know, well-known athletes, just to have their name on the brand. And I don't know. I just think that the sponsorships, everyone can get sponsored now, and you have to really believe in them and really trust them and build a relationship with the company.
Gotcha. So when you made this transition, shifting from your previous sponsor to currently, was that something they sought you out or you sought them out, or how did that work out?
Well, I was working with Supplement Superstores, doing some commercials for them. Supplement Superstores is a St. Louis based, well, now they're in Kansas City and surrounding areas. And my previous sponsor, they had their products in their store. So I was signed with both of those companies, and I really, you know, I started using this other brand, First Form, and really liked the product. It was very difficult for me to switch, because I had been with Pro Body Solutions for so long. But I needed the change, and it was the right time, with everything changing from figure to CrossFit. And it was difficult, but I'm happy with the change and the career change that I've done. So it just kind of goes hand in hand.
Nice. So then with your supplementation, you mentioned, you know, certain things are suited for you, certain things maybe not, do work for you, don't work for you, stuff like that. What has changed in your supplementation regimen from competing in figure versus now?
Before, I was taking a lot of pre-workouts, you know, creatine, things like that. I mean, if I were to take a pre-workout before I would go in and do a WOD, I think I would have a heart attack with the MegaWOD HD that First Form has in their line. Instead, I'll, you know, I'm still doing, you know, gym style workouts once or twice a week. So I'll take pre-workout once or twice a week if I feel like it. I'm not taking any kind of fat burners anymore, unless it's, I cycle my fat burners, but I'm not taking them as often as I was, just because I was so low on energy when I was dieting down for competition. So I needed those thermogenics and fat burners to just kind of like keep me through the day and keep my metabolism in check and my hunger in check. So that the caffeine kind of helped with that. Now I do a ton of protein powder to supplement, because I have so much protein in my diet that it's just impossible to eat whole food throughout the day. So I take Level One and Formula One. Those are the two proteins for First Form. And they have a great adrenal restore, which is good for me after all of the dieting and cardio that I do. And then they have a joint mobility, which also helps with my mobility and my workouts and the Olympic lifting. You know, the squatting and deadlifting, you have to be mobile. You have to have good mobility in your joints. So that definitely helps. They have a new fish oil out that's excellent, and a ton of flavors in their protein powders, which is good since I do take so much protein powder. Gotcha. Gives me a lot of variety.
Nice. Variety is always good. So then with you making this full shift, it's funny, you know, coming into this interview, I guess I should have chatted with you a little more. I really thought we were going to be talking about, you know, a future of a lot of, you know, competing figure and CrossFit, but it sounds like you've pretty much made the clean shift. So will we ever see a shift in your coaching? Like, will you start coaching CrossFit athletes, or is it always still going to stay complete package and doing, you know, physique competitions with other women?
I love that question because I think a little bit of me got burnt out because I was coaching so many figure competitors in bikini and physique athletes that I was just all in. My whole entire life revolved around bodybuilding and, you know, finding time for me to go in the gym. And after I've talked to about 40 of my clients in a day, I just was worn out on it. I couldn't even think about it. And then, you know, looking at so many different bodies and then trying to figure out what worked for me, looking in the mirror, I was finding myself comparing myself to some of my athletes. And I just didn't like that. I feel like I love helping competitors, but it was supposed to be a hobby for me. And it turned out not to be a hobby. It turned out to be my career. And I don't want that. I don't want CrossFit to suck me in like that. I want CrossFit to stay a hobby. I don't think I would ever train. I could get a coaching cert a CrossFit coaching cert just to be more knowledgeable about the sport. But in terms of finding a job in the CrossFit industry, I don't think that. I want it to stay fun for me.
Gotcha. So it sounds like as long as you have a little distance in terms of removing yourself from competition, you're still very passionate about and enjoy, you know, prepping other competitors and things like that. And I'm assuming it's probably refreshed your enthusiasm for that now that you're kind of off doing something else as your hobby.
It really does. I feel like now that I'm out of it, I can focus 100% on my competitors, and I can teach them what I've learned over the years in terms of, you know, body image and, you know, looking at food in a different way and looking at your training styles in a different way, and hopefully incorporate some of the training methods that I'm learning right now in their programs and being excited for them like I was. I think that a few times I've just been, you know, being in the bodybuilding world and going to these shows, it can have a negative effect just seeing the other coaches and competitors backstage, how they deal with their wins or losses or anything, and how it affects, you know, their future and what their plans are. Like, for example, I've seen so many competitors just praise their coaches throughout prep, and then they place bad at a competition and they fire their coach and they hire the next coach. And it's good for me to be on the outside looking in because that makes me a better coach.
No, it's really interesting. And I know myself, it's funny, you know, for probably 10 years or more, I thought about competing. And then, you know, I started the Inside Natural Bodybuilding, helping Mike with that. And it took until 2013 till I finally got on stage. And my perspective of the competitive experience, I'd say, is a lot different now that I've done it. Not saying that I would never do it again, but I guess it's not quite as glorified or as glamorous to me as I previously thought. And then in the same way, I know myself, like previous careers I've had, you know, looking back on personal training or different things that I've done, I think it's, you know, when you're in it, you kind of, it's not like your way is the only way, but you like to think, you know, you're doing things right. You think you're doing things to the best of your ability. And it's interesting that perspective, like you said, now being on the outside, being able to see where maybe there were a little bit of shortcomings by being so engrossed in it yourself, as well as all your clients. Is there anything you can see there where I find this common debate where people talk about, you know, should you be prepping clients while you're also prepping yourself? Can you actually give everything to your clients, or are you kind of shortchanging them a hair? And this isn't to put you on the spot, but I'd just be curious your thoughts on that.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think that it's better to not compete while you're prepping your clients. I have been in a competition, same competition as 7 of my own athletes in one day. And that was very, very stressful. I wanted to focus on myself, but I felt bad focusing on myself. And that you should never have to deal with that. And, you know, then your clients are like, you get text messages from your clients and they're like, I know you're getting ready for a show, but I just have a question about me. And I'm like, don't apologize. That's my job. That's what you're paying me to do. And I kind of felt bad, you know, in prepping for competitions at the same time as my clients. And you can just give your full attention to your clients when you aren't aren't doing that.
Yeah, no, it's fair. I just know, I mean, I didn't have any clients or prep anyone during my time, but I'm like, I would have been pretty terrible coach, I'm pretty sure, because I needed all the coaching I could get just being a newbie to it all. So your business is called The Complete Package. I know you take a lot of pride in guiding your competitors through all the aspects of getting on stage, you know, from stage presence to hair, makeup, heels, the whole bit, all of it. What kind of, did that just come naturally to you, or did you have to, like, you maybe hired a posing coach and then you felt like you'd mastered that well enough and then, you know, so on and so forth?
I've been watching watching the Olympia, watching the live broadcast on bodybuilding.com of figure competitors, bikini competitors throughout the years. And one common denominator is every single one of those girls has it together on their stage presentation, their suit selection, their tan, their hair, their makeup, everything. And I would go to some smaller natural bodybuilding shows and see terrible tans. And some girls go on stage with no, you know, their makeup doesn't match their tan, and their suits are like from Target, and it's terrible. So I love the beauty aspect of it. I love the fact that you can kind of just take all of your hard work that you've been doing for years or months or however long you've been training for a show, and there's that one day that you can kind of just put it all together and make yourself shine on stage. And, you know, putting together posing routines for women, posing is so important, and I take pride in my own posing, and I feel like stage presentation should be judged. That's one reason why I love the DFAC, because they do judge, a third of the judging is on presentation and your package. So helping the girls pick a suit, helping the girls with their posing and trying to find a good color for them for their tan, and making sure that they know exactly what to do and going into a competition, take pride in that. And that's why I wanted to have all of those services available for my clients and helping them get to the stage.
Do you ever see yourself hiring help? Because obviously providing, you know, those many aspects of the competitive service, I'm sure there's only so many clients you can take on at once.
No, I have about 40 girls on TCP right now. I think that's my max. I think that's the number that I can give everybody a good amount of attention and not be overloaded. I've had over 100 at one time, and that was just, it was so overwhelming that I probably could have used help, but I want everything to be me. I want to help them on my own. I think when you hire other coaches to take on clients, thought processes can mix up, and, you know, then clients start asking both of the coaches things, and things can get lost in translation, and you could be telling them two different things, and I just don't want to deal with that. So I'm going to keep my team small and give everybody their individual attention.
Nice. Yeah, you mentioned the 2012 Yorton, and, you know, I was there as well, but we didn't actually talk. The first time I met you was at the Muscle Mayhem in 2013, and at that event, what really impressed me was you were all the way out there in California, being from St. Louis. I think you only had one client in that show, and I was like, this, like, she travels across country to, you know, see her clients compete. Talk about how you handle that, again, you know, being as busy as you are, having as many clients as you do and things like that. How you go through those decisions, is that part of the coaching package they buy, that you will come and be present at the shows, or?
They do not pay for me to go to their shows. It just, that show in particular, which I do travel, you know, 4 or 5 hours to my competitors' shows just to be there for them. And obviously, since I do the hair, tan, makeup, then I have an income coming from that. So that particular show, my boyfriend and I we're both very mobile in our businesses. He's a photographer, so he can go to these shows and do photo shoots with the competitors, and I can be there for my competitors. We kind of just made a vacation out of it too. We were heading out there anyway for that competition, but, you know, if I can be at my competitors' competitions, then I would love to. And meeting new people and people kind of putting a name with a face. And, you know, people, I've picked up clients from those shows that they didn't have a coach, and, you know, they saw me and they saw my competitors, and they could come in contact with me at those shows. And that was more of an opportunity for me to pick up clients too. But, that particular show, we had other plans after that. So it was in the plans to go out there.
Cool. Now I noticed, just kind of briefly perusing, I found a couple interviews you'd done and stuff in the past, but I couldn't really find a website for you, although obviously you have quite a presence on social media. Is that by design, or did I just flat out miss the website, or is it more just everything comes from referrals, and if you do a good job, that's how you get your business?
I've never promoted TCP. I've never advertised for it or marketed for it. I think that my clients do that for me. I'm also the nutritionist at St. Louis Fitness Club, and I would say a lot of my income can come from that, or in my own outside clients, my competitors. I have my competitors, and then I have people that just want to be losing weight or gaining weight, or that I do nutrition for. I do not personal train, but I am kind of just a life coach for a lot of women. Some women just come in and talk to me, and I can share my experiences with them, because I myself have lost a lot of weight in the beginning of my journey. So I can help them with those things. But having TCP, it's been, I wanted to keep it small, and I wanted, at first it went from 3 competitors to 80 competitors overnight. I mean, I had 3 girls go pro, and then everybody, you know, started contacting me. I was very overwhelmed with it. But now I find an enjoyment in helping just the average person lose weight and get on track.
That's cool.
But the website, I don't have a website. I just go based off of social media, and I actually don't even have messaging set up on my social media. I don't check them, because it's just an overwhelming amount of people that could contact you through there. And a lot of them have just want to pick my brain, and I'm okay with that. I feel like I put out enough content for people to gather information on weight loss recipes, things like that, that I, you know, if somebody wants to hire me as their nutritionist, then I'm more than happy to do it, but they need to contact me through St. Louis Fitness Club or my personal email.
Gotcha. Care to share the email?
tcpqueenbee@gmail.com.
Nice. No, that's cool. I like the way that you go about that approach. And it's funny, like you say, the proof's in the pudding. If those people are winning and doing well on stage, within no time, you'll have a full clientele. So that's pretty cool. You mentioned earlier your boyfriend. Now, he competes in bodybuilding and physique. So how do you find this shift towards more CrossFit? Like, does he now do that with you? And what is your kind of advice for couples? I think for some couples, it's, you know, they love to train together, and that's a big part of the relationship. For some people, they don't. So, like, how has that affected that dynamic? What would your advice be for other people?
He's been so supportive of my transition into CrossFit, because he knows how much I love it, and he's seen me go through the hard times and down times that I've just kind of been going through the motions and competing in figure. So I kind of got that fire back, and he sees when I'm happy and when I'm just kind of going through it. So he tried CrossFit last year, and he likes it. It's very difficult for him, because he's not really, I mean, he's strong. He doesn't have like the motor and the endurance that you need in CrossFit. So that was a challenge for him, which he's always willing to take on a challenge. He did have to take off 4 months of training completely in CrossFit and in just working out, because he's working on his new business right now. So, he's been getting slowly, like since the new year, he's slowly been getting back into the gym and gaining his strength back and his size. But he and I, we really respect each other's goals. And I think the only way to make it work is if you have that support and somebody who's constantly encouraging you to be better, regardless of what your training methods are. And as long as you have that communication and that respect for your significant other or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, I think that's so important in having a successful relationship.
Gotcha. So does that mean that now, like, maybe time you typically would have spent training together is not spent training together, or not necessarily?
Well, we've only trained together a few times. Like, he's come to a couple of CrossFit classes with me. But we kind of keep that separate. I think our goals are a little bit different, but he's very respectful of, you know, having me gone for 4 to 5 hours a day of training. So many people would not be okay with that, but he's been awesome, awesome about that.
Gotcha. So prior to CrossFit, did you guys train together or still know you kind of each did your own thing?
No, we just did our own thing. A few times, you know, probably once or twice a month would we train together, but pretty much did our own thing.
It's interesting. Yeah. Cause again, I've interviewed so many different people and I see that some couples where it's literally like, you know, they're always at the gym together. They do every single thing together. And then some that are a little more independent and kind of each have their own things. And I think that's good and facilitated. But I'd be curious, you know, someone else that maybe always trained together would be like, no, don't leave me type thing. So I guess that's good that you each have your own, commitments there. What are your thoughts on, strategic shift within the organizations you compete in? And maybe this question probably isn't as relevant now that it sounds like you might not be getting on stage again, but you know, there was a time where you competed a lot, in the IFPA, and then you made the shift more to the DFAC. I know that was a strategic shift to kind of suit your physique, what you were bringing to the stage better. Does that now influence how you advise your competitors, and just kind of what are your thoughts on like the different organizations and how one makes those kind of decisions?
Based off of my experience and competing in these different organizations, I can kind of give my competitors feedback. I still have competitors that compete in the IFPA, the OCB, and the NANBF, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with those organizations, but my experience in it, especially at the Yorton in 2012, was a negative one. I'm not on the judging panel, so I can't tell what they're looking at and what they see at that angle, but just the feedback that I've gotten from it and everything, you know, with the interview that I had about 12 weeks prior to that Yorton, I got a little controversial, I guess, and stated my opinion on the IFPA judging on what I've seen at a couple of shows, and I feel that I was a little bit slapped on the wrist for that. And my experience there was, you know, with the some of the people in the organization and some of the judges, and the feedback that I got afterwards was so bad that I swore that I would never compete in the IFPA again. And I love what they do. I just feel like they have gone to who can diet the hardest, even for figure. Some of those girls have come in with glute striations and are harder than some of the bodybuilders that I see. And which is, you know, if people want to compete in that organization, that's great. And I'll be 100% supportive and send people to them, but it's just not for me. And I think figure was intended when figure first came into the scene a long time ago in the NPC, it was for women that with a softer look with curves. And now it's kind of going in different organizations. Like you have Sharina, I'm probably butchering her name, Sharina Ferguson, that competes and does so well in the IFPA and figure that can literally go over and crush a physique competition in the PNBA and the DFAC. I mean, that just having the balance in those organizations, they need to communicate together and figure something out, because that those criteria are so different and it's just so flawed. So it's hard for me to even think about competing in figure in the IFPA after that. I came in at the Yorton in 2012 under 3% body fat, and they told me that I needed to be leaner. So that to me is, that's not what figure is.
Mm-hmm. No, I do definitely think the shift of the natural bodybuilding sport as a whole, in my personal opinion, has gotten a little bit too conditioning focused. Like you said, it becomes a matter of just who can diet the hardest, and people make these jokes, you know, like we're looking at swimmers' physiques out there, so like the men's bodybuilding, but you know, they're lean as can be. And I don't know, like you said, it just makes a moving target if you compete in different organizations. But at the end of the day, the one thing I guess that I have a little bit of problem with the conditioning is because, you know, now you're seeing it, someone that competes in CrossFit and, you know, the kind of carbohydrate intake you need and to be able to perform and all that, like you're a well-rounded athlete, although you still have a great physique. And I think sometimes it's like you get to that point and it's like, we're like, you know, death walking on stage, but we're, you know, shredded out of our mind, but like we can't do anything. We can't hardly function. You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of a, in my opinion, a little bit negative on the sport, because while it is, you know, it's kind of cool to say, wow, out of all these people, like I was the only one that could like push myself that hard. It just, you know, makes it that much more to where people are like, well, I don't want to do that. That's disgusting. Or I think turns more people off. I don't know if you agree, but.
Oh yeah. I've been there. I've had people think that I have like something seriously wrong with me a couple of weeks before the show, because you just look so, your face starts drawing in and you can't hardly even walk up the stairs and you're so exhausted. And you know, it's just a struggle. And, you know, I have girls call me and they're like, you know, not even girls on my team, but just other competitors. And they're just like, my coach pulled all my carbs and I feel like shit and I don't even know what to do. And I can't function and I can't even take care of my own children. And I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, what is your ultimate goal to, you know, is that trophy going to, is your trophy from the St. Louis Classic in 2011, who's going to remember you for that? I mean, I just feel like it's so, I don't know, people just put way more into it and it's not that serious. Your health, so many people's health has been at risk just to get so conditioned and win these shows that it's just, it's not good. Not even just health, but like your mentality towards how you feel afterwards. You know, your post-show blues, and you've been thinking and dieting for so long about this one competition that afterwards you're just, it's kind of just like you don't even know what to do. You're lost. And I see that so much in competitors, and it's just, it's so negative. And I felt like I was kind of falling into that place. I had the post-show blues, and I don't know. It's the best and worst thing that could happen to me in competing in figure.
Gotcha. And to any of our listeners from Inside Natural Bodybuilding, I know I'll probably take a little bit of heat for this segment just simply because I'm, I guess, putting down our sport in a degree, and I don't want that to be the case. I think it's just, you know, sharing different perspectives, you know, different sports for different people, different genetic tendencies towards being lean. You know, it may not be quite as, I guess, traumatic of an experience, but we're simply just sharing again that for some people this is the case. And again, obviously, you just need to put everything in perspective and recognize the bigger picture. So appreciate you sharing that. What would you say are some of the most like negative side effects or consequences you have seen amongst competitors taking extreme contest prep measures?
I don't even think it's a physical. I think it's how, and I don't work with men, so it's hard for me to kind of say that this is for every bodybuilder or physique competitor. For women, it's like you are constantly comparing yourself to what you looked like on that day forever. You don't look at food the same way. And there's been so many battles with coaches about what's the right dieting method and what's the best for long term, and is if it fits your macros best, or is if clean eating is best for you. And, you know, if you can't look at food and just, and you're not going to compete for the rest of your life. And this has been a hard transition for me just because I'm still competing in something different, but going out to eat and looking at your plate and not looking at numbers and just enjoying yourself and eating and not feeling guilty the next day or afterwards about it and just living, I don't think anybody ever gets that back. Once you compete in a competition, you just look at everything so much different. And I'm not putting down the bodybuilding competitions, because I obviously work in it. I want to teach people how to not think like that and not have that mentality. And, you know, I ran into a girl over Christmas, and she was still dieting. I mean, I understand that you still have to diet and you have to reverse diet, but you have to live a little bit. You have to take a break from all of this. And to diet all the time, all year round, it's just not healthy. Mentally and physically, it is not healthy. You have to step away from it and kind of live in a normal world. And there's so many different people that will say, well, you have to be in it if you really want this, and you can never get off of your diet. But I don't know. I disagree. I think you just need to live a little bit. But I was the same way for 5 years. That's all I did. I was bringing my Tupperware containers to family functions and so into it. But that's why I was successful. I never veered off track. I think if you do it for a short period of time, that's fine. But people who compete in show after show after show, and then they're just, I just think that it's not good long term.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Unless you do it the healthy way.
Right. Can make you a slave to the game for sure. And again, I think it depends on every person. Like I said, there's those people that seem very in touch with their body and they don't really track anything. They just kind of modify accordingly. And then there's people that I think maybe are a little bit too obsessed with the tracking. And obviously I think the happy medium somewhere in between is probably going to suit most people. So you mentioned earlier that you originally started dropping, I think it was maybe 50 pounds or something. Would you say that's the biggest setback or challenge you faced on your competitive and kind of, you know, fitness journey? Or is there something else maybe that you could share that would be inspiring to people?
I'm sorry, the biggest setback or challenge?
Yeah.
I think the biggest setback or challenge has been finding a balance. Finding a balance in between normal life and competing. It's difficult. Like we had just talked about, it's hard for an athlete to be on a diet for a long period of time and to get so into competing. And I look back on my Facebook posts, and that's all I was talking about is bodybuilding or what I was doing for cardio, or, you know, posting what food I was eating. And I think pulling out of that and looking in, I was overly obsessed with the sport. And I think that was the biggest challenge in getting out of it and kind of just finding myself and finding out who I really was. But I kind of jumped into the sport, and I had a goal, and I wanted to get my pro card. And once I got my pro card, I wanted to win pro shows. So I just kept on going with it. And, you know, I was talking with one of my clients a few weeks ago, and that has been dealing with, you know, the reverse diet and how hard it is, you know, to reverse diet during the holidays. And I realized that I was competing so much, not just to do all these shows throughout the years, but I was trying to find a balance, because I was competing every single May and every single October, November. And that would give me November, December to take the time off in an off season, and then every June and July to take off in a short off season. And the reason that I was getting back into competing so often after those 2 months of not dieting as hard and giving myself a little bit of break from the gym was so I could get lean again. And that's just, I was competing for the wrong reasons. It was like I would gain 10, 15 pounds, and then I would freak out and I'd be like, okay, I got to compete, so I have to lose this. And the only reason that I was going back into prep was to lose it. It was not to step on stage, but I needed to figure out ultimately who I am without a show in mind. And that's been the hardest thing about transitioning into CrossFit, you know, not, am I going to gain the weight after I stop competing? Am I going to be 15 pounds over my show weight? I'm not. I'm only 4 pounds over my show weight right now, but I found a good balance. And I think that's the most important part.
No, that's very good. I was going to ask you what a typical day in the life was like, but now it's funny. Now I'm intrigued to ask the question, what was a typical day in the life like as a figure competitor, and what's a typical day of the life like as a CrossFit competitor? I'll leave it up to you if you want to share both, or you can even just share now. But
oh yeah, when competing for figure, I felt a lot of pressure because I had to get my workouts in, I had to get my cardio in. I wake up, I would go and do my first round of cardio. I would eat. I would go see clients for a couple hours. I would go to school. I would go get my workout in, and then I would do my second round of cardio at night. And then I'd come back, and I'd be traveling from one place to another because I work from home and I work at a gym. So I would be, you know, eating my meals in between and trying to fit them in whenever I could. You know, going to class, I'd be carrying my Tupperware around with me and eating my meals in school. So, and then I'd come home and try to spend as much time with my boyfriend as I possibly could, because I am so busy and he works throughout the day too. So we never really get to see each other, even though we worked at home. We're, you know, he's on conference calls, I'm doing nutrition plans in the other room. So we really didn't get to spend a lot of quality time together. So every night I would try to spend it with him. Now I wake up, I eat, I go to CrossFit for 1 to 2 hours. I go and do cardio, and then I am meeting with clients throughout the day. I go to school twice a week now, so that's for about 3 or 4 hours every Tuesday and Thursday. And then after that, I'm meeting with clients up until about 8:30, and then I head back to the gym to do my second round. And that could be until about 10 o'clock p.m.
Gotcha. So still going at it hard. Awesome. What is it that you're studying in school? I saw something in a previous interview talking about dietetics, and I guess with that question is also, have you always been prepping clients? Has that been like your career from the very beginning, or did you kind of make a career shift at some point?
I actually, before I started TCP, I was a bartender, and it was, you know, great money. I was only actually bartending once a week, and then I was going to school, going for my dietetics major, and in hopes that I could get out of the bartending, that industry, and just focus 100% on my own business. And, you know, I said that previously that I went from 3 competitors to 80 or 100 over a period of like a month. So the money started coming in. I could quit my bartending job and just live off of the money that I was making from TCP and then at St. Louis Fitness Club. I realized over the years that the money in this industry is, you can make good money if you're smart about it, and, you know, keeping clients that are loyal to you. And loyalty in this sport is very rare. You know, you see people hop around from coach to coach. So I want, my biggest goal is just to keep my clients and let them trust in me and what's going to happen if I can help them achieve their goals. So now I am shifting my business over to, you've probably seen on Instagram that I'm opening up my own online clothing boutique. So I'm working on that right now as extra income, I guess. And I love the fashion world and makeup, and I'm doing makeup tutorials on YouTube, starting a new YouTube channel. So I'm really excited about that because it's more me. It's more of, you know, I love the nutrition. I love helping competitors, but I think that this is just an opportunity to tap into other aspects of what I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I was actually going to ask you, it had come up, my mind was going to say, now that you're in CrossFit and there's less of that aspect, like, how do you still kind of keep that in things? Well, obviously, you know, prepping your competitors, but for your own outlet, I guess this now provides that. So that's pretty cool. Is that something where, same thing, like it's all you, or are you potentially looking to partner up with other competitors, and are your items more geared towards a competitor or not necessarily?
For my clothing boutique?
Right.
It's actually, there's very little, like gym clothes that I will be selling. It's more it's more clothes that athletes can wear outside of the gym, because, you know, for a girl, it's hard to find jeans. It's hard to find clothes that fit them, because, you know, if you go into like Buckle and try to find a pair of jeans, you have like these massive quads and a tiny little waist, and that's not really how jeans were made for. Jeans weren't really made for athletes. So I'll be carrying a couple lines of clothing, and I'll be carrying shoes and just everything, accessories, handbags, things like that. So stuff for everybody.
And are these all items that you're carrying from others, or designing some stuff as well?
No, I'm not designing any of them. I'll be buying them wholesale and selling them on my website.
So it's kind of like you picking your favorites and then consolidating them and educating the world about them and why they should have them.
Yes.
Yep. Cool. That's awesome. Congrats, and excited to see where things go. Where can people find out more about that?
I was supposed to have the website up in November, but just because my schedule's been so crazy, it's hard to get things rolling on that. I'm still working on the name and the website and everything. I would say this spring, it keeps on getting pushed back and back, but it will be up, and I'm excited. Oh, and I'll be carrying swimwear too, so that's exciting. So a lot of the competitors can come to the website. Once I get it up, I'll have it on my Facebook page.
Nice. So just keep an eye on you on social media, and you'll let everyone know, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. All right, so we've come to the end of the episode. Rapid fire Q&A time. Sometimes I do this just for fun, where basically I say, pick one of two options and then explain quickly why you chose the option you did. So, performance or looks?
Performance. Used to be looks, but now I'm CrossFitter, so definitely performance.
Nice. Men's physique body or men's bodybuilder body?
Bodybuilder? I don't know. I like bigger.
Nice. Cool. Fried foods or sweets?
Sweets. I don't eat fried foods at all.
What's your sweet indulgent of choice?
Oh, gosh. I'm like a cookie and brownie girl. I like the baked goods. Not really into like candy or anything. And I like chocolate.
Nice. What woman doesn't, right?
Right.
deadlifting or squatting?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would have to say squatting, because I need to work on that more than my deadlifts.
Nice. East Coast or West Coast?
West Coast, because I will be moving there soon.
Cool. Now you just interrupted my line of questions. You got to tell us more about that. What's going on?
Hopefully... that's one of my goals for this year, is to move to San Diego or somewhere on the West Coast. I think it would be good for my business, for the clothing line. Obviously, it's so expensive to have everything shipped to the Midwest, and I'm based in St. Louis. So that'll be good for my clothing line and for Chinga's business, for his jet set management business, based... I mean, his business partner is in LA, but I think we'll get the most out of our careers if we're in that area.
Very cool. A lot of entrepreneurs in San Diego as well. So that should find other people like you. That'd be cool. And then final one, training music, hip hop and techno type music or rock?
Oh man, I'm an EDM girl. I like the techno. Electronic dance music, but I also like hip hop, and that's what we usually play at the gym. So,
very cool.
I think I lift heavier to that, something like that.
Nice, very cool. Well, thanks so much for your time, Alex. It's been a pleasure interviewing you. Maybe you can quickly share with people how to find you on social media.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. It is at queenb_TCP. And then on Facebook, it is www.facebook.com/AlexEFigure, A-L-E-X-E figure.
Awesome. So be sure to check Alex out there. And we wish you all the best in your CrossFit competitions coming up this year, and maybe we'll be seeing you on ESPN.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks so much. Take care. Quick shout out to Inside Natural Bodybuilding sponsors, Nutristat, top supplements online, and barbell1.com.